Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll go behind the headlines to put the spotlight on Donald Trump. He seems to like that sort of thing. He's in St. Louis and, not surprisingly, once again basks in the glow of heavy media coverage. Is it too heavy? Unfair? Is he using the media and his fascination with his candidacy? We'll talk about that in a bit, too. But first, let's get a taste of the scene downtown at the Trump rally. Joining us is St. Louis Public Radio reporter Stephanie Lecce at the Peabody Opera House. Stephanie, set the scene for us.
Well, right now I am watching a huge line that has wrapped around the block next to the Peabody Opera House. People are still waiting to get in, even though the rally was supposed to have started at 12 o'clock. We have a saxophone over here playing the America National Anthem, and we also have a somewhat large group of protesters who are shouting against Mr. Trump. So it's been a tense but highly patriotic scene today.
I understand that some of the people were in that line at 2 o'clock this morning, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. Some of the people who I spoke to have been out here since 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. People were really excited to go and see Mr. Trump in person. They said they like what he has to say, and they wanted to make sure that they were in there to hear him.
How would you characterize the crowd in terms of age, gender, race, that sort of thing?
Well, I would say that it is overwhelmingly white, but it spans all race, all ages. I spoke with an 8-year-old. I spoke with an octogenarian. Mr. Trump is attracting people along the spectrum. But I would say, again, that overwhelmingly it is white voters in line. That said, I did speak with a few African-American voters who said they were just interested to hear what Mr. Trump had to say. I spoke with a few students from China who are studying at WashU who said that they were really interested to see how the democratic process works. And I also spoke with some people on the protest side who said they're not necessarily against Mr. Trump, but they think that his message is being skewed.
He is not yet in the House, I take it.
No, I don't believe that he has taken the stage yet, although it's kind of hard to find out here. It's chaotic enough. This is enough entertainment, if you will, out here. People are really trying to exercise both their First Amendment rights as well as their rights to participate in the political process.
Any evidence of additional security for a crowd like this?
Oh, yes. The St. Louis police are out in force. I've seen at least 100 officers, but there are probably many more. They've done, I think, a really good job of keeping things pretty peaceful. I've only seen one arrest when a gentleman jumped over a barricade to try to confront a Trump supporter. He was taken away in handcuffs. But other than that, there have been some tense moments. But I actually spoke with one protester from the Black Lives Matter movement who said he felt that the police have been doing a really good job of protecting their rights to get their message heard while keeping the people coming here to see Mr. Trump protected in line as well.
All right. Well, Stephanie Lecce, thanks for bringing us up to speed on what's going on downtown. We'll be reading what you have to say and listening to what you have to say later on in the day. But thank you so much for being with us. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Stephanie Lecce reporting from downtown at the Trump rally. So here we are giving more media coverage to Donald Trump by talking about the kind of media attention he typically receives. Joining me in Talk About It in studio are Matt Carlson, communications professor at St. Louis University, and St. Louis Public Radio executive news editor Shula Newman. Thank you both so much for being with us. Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
Thank you for having me.
Let me ask both of you the same question. Now, what is your take? And I'll start with you, Matt. What is your take overall on the kind of coverage Mr. Trump has been receiving these months?
Well, that's a really big question. I mean, that's what we've been talking about. When I've been around more than two adults in any setting, the talk usually turns to Donald Trump and thinking about how his success has manifested itself. And there's empirical evidence that Donald Trump is getting far more media coverage than any of his rivals for the Republican nomination for the presidency. This is clearly demonstrated. So you can't even compare it. I mean, if you look at how well he's done in the polls, how well he's done in the results, they've been better than his opponents, but not nearly to the magnitude of coverage he's gotten. So the question is, why is this? Why has he gotten so much coverage? And a lot of it has to do with two factors. One, he's very good at talking to the media, at being provocative, at getting coverage. And two, he's unusual. If you think about all the other candidates, they tend to be the way that politicians talk, the way that candidates talk. But Donald Trump doesn't do that. In fact, he does the opposite of what you usually think he'll say or what a candidate would say. He goes off and does the opposite. And that's attractive. And I think if you're covering campaigns and doing the same thing every 4 years, this is just so unusual that it begs the coverage. It begs attention.
Shula, what's your take on all of this?
Well, I agree with a lot of what Matt said. I would add, though, that I think Trump is just a master at creating media. He obviously, I mean, he has for years and years been in the spotlight, has, you know, he knows how to be on TV. He knows what makes for good TV. And that's a big part of the reason why he is so entertaining, because he knows that this will get attention. I know the media has been doing a lot of navel gazing, asking, is Trump's popularity our fault? Have we been covering him too much? And I think part of it is, you know, maybe, but at the same time, Trump makes himself available and he puts himself out there and he gives the media a lot of reason to cover him.
Is he manipulating the media?
He could be. I think it's quite likely, frankly, because he, like I said, he knows television. He knows what makes good television. And he does outrageous things. He says outrageous things and then kind of sits back and waits for the media to cover it before doing another outrageous thing.
And Matt, he knows reality television and reality media, reality entertainment.
Exactly. And we like reality TV because it's kind of like reality, but it's not really reality. And that's why we enjoy
reality.
It. But I mean, I think he absolutely manipulates the media because he knows exactly how to get what he wants out of the coverage. He knows exactly how to get attention. If you watched on Tuesday night, he held a basically 45-minute long speech / somewhat of a press conference / talking about his products. I can't imagine Marco Rubio doing something even close to that, or even Hillary Clinton. He absolutely knows what's going to work, and he gets the coverage. And because of that, he's gotten way more coverage. And the thing is, remember, coverage is always finite. If you're spending this much time on Donald Trump, you're not spending this much time on his opponents or on the Democratic candidates. It's a finite resource. And so if he sucks up all the time, then there's just not that much attention to others.
This is where I actually get a little confused, or where I start to question the choice that a lot of major news outlets make. Because he is on, for example, he's on CNN for 45 minutes for his acceptance speech. Then he makes himself available that same day for another show. And the producers of the news, the editors and the editors, they're making the decision to bring him on multiple times. And that, as you said, that means that they're not going to be talking to Rubio or to Kasich or any of the other Republican candidates. And I do wonder why that's happening. Is it just his availability?
I don't know. I mean, part of it is it gets ratings.
Oh, yes.
If you look at, you know, cable television, there's always a tight race.
Right.
And the fact that Donald Trump is on, people are going to watch it. And so I think that's part of it. But it's not all ratings. I think it's just, again, I think it's he's something that people like to watch. He makes himself something people want to see. And when you do that, you just tend to get more and more coverage. And then you spend all the time talking about him afterwards. So you have to include all of that into the equation. I mean, if after the debate last night, the first person they talked to was Donald Trump. They pulled him off stage and immediately asked him how he thought he did. And I think he thought he did okay. Because
oh, really?
Unsurprising.
Well, the head of CBS has said he's golden. I mean, yeah. We want to put him on as much as we possibly can because it means profits for the networks.
Mm-hmm.
A case in point was this morning when he received the endorsement of Ben Carson. And following that, he held one of his news conferences in front of the flags, as usual. And it was covered live by the cable networks for about 40 minutes. I mean, it was live. I venture to guess that other candidates of either party will have news conferences someplace today, and they'll be covered, but they will not be covered live.
And even calling him news conferences is kind of a misnomer. I mean, he does not answer questions the way that you usually associate politicians answering questions during a news conference. There's
right.
a give and take. There's succinct answers. There's follow-ups. He sort of filibusters every question that he gets and keeps talking and talking and talking. And that works to his advantage. He gets to stay on longer. Nobody will cut away. And we don't really learn a lot because without having the follow-ups to say, hey, what did you mean by this? Hey, this is actually not correct. There's no really accountability there, which is, I think, the most important issue.
Shula, the media used to be guided by something called the equal time rule and the fairness doctrine. people might be wondering why this is not being, these are not being employed at this particular time. Why not?
That's, I actually don't know how to answer that question. I think going back to just his pure availability, the way that he makes himself available, the way that he, you know, just does things and says things that attract a huge proportion of the attention, it's harder for them to say, well, you know, he is doing things that generate a large portion of time that merit a lot of discussion. The other candidates just aren't doing that. They're being candidates. So.
Right. Any thoughts about that, Matt, before we have to take a break?
No, I think he takes advantage of the system. I mean, the system used to have more stringent rules, but now we don't have those. And so he can do what he wants, and he knows exactly what he's doing.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, there no longer exists a fairness doctrine. That's been gone now for a couple of years. So that is taken out of the equation. We'll come back and continue our conversation about the media coverage of Donald Trump in just a moment with Shula Newman and Matt Carlson with us in studio. Back in a moment or two. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on the media coverage of Donald Trump. I guess what we were leading up to before that break was the question of fairness. Is the coverage that he is receiving fair? Fair to the other candidates?
Well, on its face, no, since he's getting so much more. I mean, the numbers are pretty astounding. Some of the ones that I have read, Matt, you were talking about the facts earlier that something like 92,000 mentions of Trump in the past 2 months compared to 65,000 mentions of Hillary Clinton. And that's just disproportionate. Is that fair?
It's astounding. I mean, I think I saw a stat that was 65 times more coverage for Donald Trump than other of his opponents. These numbers are not made up. These are amazing numbers.
Yeah, it really is. And it's incredible because as a result, what we were also talking about is we don't hear as much about what would be legitimate candidates. I mean, it's astounding that Jeb Bush, you know, drops out of the race, who was seen as such a mainstream candidate, but he got so little attention that, you know, who knows what his policies were. I don't know.
One of the interesting aspects of it to me is the fact that he's getting so much media coverage, but nobody's been able to wrest any policies from the guy.
Right.
I mean, all we know is he wants to build a wall and he wants to throw the Muslims out of this country or keep them from coming in. Nobody's been able to get at the core of whatever his core is.
Well, why would he give us a core? He doesn't need to.
He's running for president.
Well, you would think so. But, you know, and this is really about the issue of accountability and how we think about accountability and how we hold people running for public office to account. And not pressing him on these issues to find out what he really thinks, to find out if the numbers do add up or not add up, which is a big moment in last night's debate. These are things the press has to do. But one of the issues when it comes to something like fact-checking is that fact-checking has a time lag. You just can't say, wait, what you just said isn't true. Usually there's a story the next day or so, it shows up on a website, and a couple of days later, everything else has moved on. A good case of this is what happened on Tuesday night after when Trump had his press conference and he was showing people these steaks that he said were Trump steaks. They were not Trump steaks. He said, this is a magazine. It's Trump magazine. It was not Trump magazine. He was showing us wine from the Trump winery, which he actually does not own. All these facts came out later because they were easy to figure out if you have enough time. But in the moment, the message comes across, and he understands that. He understands that he doesn't have to be held to account.
The times that reporters have tried to hold him to account in real time, he just pulls out, you know, he becomes a bully. Mm-hmm. And it's a real disincentive, I would think, for a lot of reporters, because in the eyes of Trump's fans, they're getting beaten up on justly because Trump beats up on the media all the time. And, you know, as a result, Trump supporters also don't like the media. So, yeah, he should go after those who challenge him.
Which is precisely why the media is covering him, waiting for him to throw media members out or anybody out of these things. Another element that I think is interesting and really shows his showmanship are these news conferences he's been holding in front of the American flags at his place in Florida. It reminds me of the movie Patton, if you recall that scene where General Patton was before this huge American flag. I mean, once again, he's looking presidential while he is still a candidate.
Not acting presidential,
but not acting presidential.
Well, you know, it's about appearance, and he's somebody who understands appearance very much. I mean, this is what his career is based off of. Even his wealth, he attributes a lot of that to his brand. He values his brand at several billion dollars, and that's all about appearance. It's all about looking how you want to look, and he's mastered that.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of media coverage is present over the weekend when Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz are in town. I don't imagine there are going to be people waiting anywhere at 2 o'clock in the morning for either of them, and how it will be covered locally and nationally.
Well, I know that. I mean, I was thinking about this when we were talking earlier. You know, we've sent two reporters down to cover Trump, one inside, one outside, right. You know, because we felt that we had to, because so much of the action is what happens outside and, you know, and with the protesters. That hasn't been happening with Hillary's campaign. It hasn't been happening with Cruz's campaign. So we're not going to be sending two reporters to each of those.
We should point out, by the way, that Jason Rosenbaum is right. Inside, and so he'll be reporting during the course of the day on what's going on inside whenever Mr. Trump arrives.
And that's a really good example. I mean, it's not that St. Louis Public Radio is out shilling for Donald Trump. It's just that this is what the story is right now, and this is what people are talking about. That doesn't equate support. I mean, if one of the amazing things about this, so you look at how much coverage Donald Trump has gotten, but yet he's not received more than 50% of the votes in any of the primaries or caucuses, not one. His lead is real, but it's not so massive that it would warrant this coverage. So how do we explain it? It's just interesting, and people are talking about it. Whether you love Trump or you hate Trump, we want to talk about Trump.
We only have a few seconds left. Matt, I'll ask you, what are you telling your students about this? I mean, this is right in your wheelhouse, this whole subject.
I'm telling my students that everything we thought we knew about political communication turned out to be wrong, at least for the moment, but it's still a long way until November.
Right. And Shula, a final thought from you on any special challenges all of this poses for you and our team?
Well, the challenge is simply like making that decision to actually put more bodies down there. It was very much a, you know, would we do this for anybody else? Well, like Matt said, that's the story. You can't avoid it, and it's a bit of a conflict.
Well, that is the story. Donald Trump is in St. Louis today. He is was scheduled to appear at noon at the Peabody Opera House. We have two reporters down there to cover him when he arrives and to report whatever he says. I want to thank you, Matt Carlson and Shula Newman. Thanks so much for being with us and talking about this.
You're welcome.
I think we ought to be paying a lot of attention to the way the media handles someone like Donald Trump. Thank you once again.
Thank you.